And it's going to be entitled, Jesus Never Changes. You know what? You better be glad that he does never change. Amen. He never changes. And because he never changes, the good news is that we can change for the good. I said, we can change for the good. Amen. Praise God. You know, it's been said life is not always good, but God is always good. Praise God. And really, Jesus is the one that will never disappoint or never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that the truth? So today I want us to look at two portions of Scripture that are going to be foundation to where we want to go quickly today. In Luke chapter 4, we want to begin in verse number 16. Verse number 16. And he came to Nazareth, this is talking about Jesus, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, notice it says his custom was. Other translation says as his habit was. What was his habit? His habit was to go to the synagogue. His habit was to go to church on the Sabbath day. Now, so that we understand what God is communicating here, this is just a little side note. This is for free, okay? Jesus is the express image of the Father. Whatever we see Jesus do is the will of God for all of our lives, without exception. Amen. And so for him to go as make going to the synagogue or church a custom in his life, God expects that to be a healthy custom or habit in our life. Just a thought. Amen. But that's a good thought. Amen. And in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, he stood up to read. Now let's look at what he read. And there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah the prophet. And he opened the book and he found the place where it was written. Now what we're about to read was we find a portion of Isaiah 61 that Jesus actually stands in the synagogue and he quotes this and he says, I am the one this is written about. And here's what he says in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, I want us to turn. We're going to focus on this verse here or this portion of Scripture. But before we do, I want to look at one other portion of Scripture, and that is found in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. How he went about doing good. Everybody say doing good. Yes. Doing good and healing all. Everybody say healing all. Yes. So this is God's will. Jesus did good and healed all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now we find two words in particular, or we actually find one word in both portions of Scripture that I want to draw our attention to, and it is the word anointed. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. Matter of fact, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God hath anointed me. Anointing, or the word anointed, means in its simplest form, it means to smear, to rub. It's the idea of taking oil and rubbing it or smearing it on a object, or in this case, on a person. It was for the purpose of empowerment. It represented, that oil represented as a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit. Has God's hand and anointing empowered Jesus Christ to do the will of the Father? Amen. Actually, write this down. We won't turn there. But in Isaiah 10:27, it defines what the anointing would do. It says that the anointing is actually the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. How many know that the life that we live in, there are things that need to be removed? There's yokes that we get tied up to, things that we get yoked up with that do not belong in our life. And Jesus, the scripture says that God anointed Jesus to remove those burdens and to destroy those yokes. And we're going to talk about a few of those today. Actually, if we were to turn back to Luke 4, 18 and 19, we're going to read this again, where it says, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight to the blind, to preach, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." In these two verses, we see Jesus, He spoke of six things that He and His anointing came to do. And His anointing came to change those, came to change for those who come to Him by faith. In other words, He said, this is why the Spirit of God was upon me. And He says, those that come to me, I could do these things for. Now the good news is here today, this is true of His anointing, obviously 2,000 years ago, but according to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, where it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it is still true of His anointing today. For He and His anointing has never changed. He never changes, praise God, and so we're to trust in Him. We need to know this, if we will come to His feet the same way that people did when He walked this earth in faith, they can receive from Him, and He will destroy the same yokes and burdens that He came to remove today as He did then. That's really good news to us today, isn't it? Because there are things that do happen in life. And not all of them are good, obviously. But know this, God is always good. And if we trust in Him and find out what He came to do and realize that He's not a God of yesterday, He's a God of right now. In other words, what He did then, He's doing now. And He will always do if we will learn what He did and put our faith and our trust in Him. And so it's vital for us to understand what He was anointed to do in the past. When He spoke this, He said these six specific things. We're going to look at them today. What He was anointed to do in the past is important for us to understand, for us to fully grasp what He continues to offer for those that seek Him in faith again today, right now. So what we're going to do is briefly look at what those six things are in our lives today, or what the Scripture says Jesus came to do then, because what Jesus came to do then, He wants to do right now. He hasn't changed, because He and His anointing have never changed, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Number one, as we look at verse 18 of Luke chapter 4, you can follow along with me. I'll just break this down. The very first of the six things He said, that Jesus was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. Now think about it for a moment, just so that most of you know this, but the gospel just means good news. So what God is talking about here, or what is being revealed here, is good news to us. It was good news to them that day when Jesus stood up and said this, but it's good news to us today. The moment Jesus showed up, he was letting everyone know that the message He proclaimed had power to change them if they would believe it. He was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, or the good news to the poor. And so what would the good news to the poor be? Well, you could say it like this, you ain't got to be poor no more. Wouldn't that be good news? If you were poor, wouldn't it be good news that you don't have to be poor no more? Let's stop complicating things. Jesus don't want you to be broke, busted, and disgusted. There are reasons why people may be, but the truth is, no matter reason why you are, Jesus, that is not God's will for you. And Jesus' anointing was, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach, He had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The word poor here pictures the images of those trapped in the deepest depth of destitution, utterly a void or let me say it like this, utterly devoid of resources or state of financial despair or impoverishment. In other words, it meant they're broke. It meant they're busted and disgusted. Their life, because of things, and not always in fault of a person. Many times we find that this impoverishment has come. Jesus said, it may come, but I've come to get it to go. Praise God. And so this is telling us the anointing to break the stronghold of poverty was upon Jesus, and it's still upon Jesus today, church. Aren't you glad? In other words, Jesus' anointing for the poor will break the grip of financial hardship, disrupt the cycle of poverty, and bring economic change to the poor lives. That's good news. If you're here today and you may feel trapped by your past or where you currently are, this is Jesus saying to you, I want that to change for you today. Your faith in His anointing, don't figure out how He's going to do it. It just believes that He will, and that He can and He will today do that and change that in your life. Number two, it says Jesus was sent to heal the brokenhearted. So let's look at two words in this portion of the scripture that we need to know why Jesus was sent for. The word brokenhearted may best be described as people who have been walked on by others. Anybody ever feel like you've been walked on by others? Been abused by others. Those who have been crushed by others. Or this word means those who feel they have been smashed to pieces by life and by relationships. Now, maybe everyone cannot relate to that, but chances are, even if you're not facing that today, there's some time in your life you can say that you have felt this way. The good news is, whether it's in your past or whether it's in the nasty now and now, God is here through His anointing to change that. Now, the word heal is an interesting word, and it means exactly what it says. But this Greek word is the word that means to cure or to heal, and it frequently was used in the scripture to describe a progressive cure. You know, we all want quick fixes, and that can happen. That can happen. Usually they're called healing miracles. But in this case, it says, and Jesus did do that. But in this case, this healing word is frequently used to describe a progressive cure or a progressive healing. It depicts a healing power that progressively, listen, reverses a condition over a period of time, or a sickness that is progressively healed rather than being instantaneously healed. And we need to understand that that is what this is talking about, because so many times God touches us in our service, or when we read the scripture and we receive that, but because there's not an instant total change, we kind of dismiss it, or we let the devil talk us out of it. But I want you to know that Jesus can do it instantly, but He even said here that He's come to heal the brokenhearted, or He was sent to heal the brokenhearted, meaning that this person or these things that has caused us in our lives to be crushed, because many times things emotionally that happen to our lives, we aren't instantly set free from totally, but there is a progressive cure. We get the answer and we apply it, and it's working in us, and we work that thing out. We don't live by how we feel. We don't live by what we see anymore, but we begin to walk by faith and not by sight. And as a switch of faith remains on, and that faith in that healing and delivering power of God through our confession and declaring what God's word says. No, I believe when hands were laid laid on me, the healing power of God flowed, and the things that have once bound me were those yokes were destroyed, those burdens are removed, and you understand whether they're totally removed right then, or it could be in this case a process where you stand your ground and say, God, you are my deliverer, and I refuse to allow the things that have broken me, have trodden on me, the circumstances, the people, and the things that I've been crushed by in life and relationships. I know you're bigger than that, and you're working in my life right now. The good news is for anyone who feels trampled upon, broken, or overwhelmed by life's challenges and relationships which cause, listen, emotional wounds and scars, Jesus Christ and His healing power remains unchanged. Glory be to God. Aren't you glad in here today? He's the same, church, yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. And this message is holding true for us. We just need to be reminded of it. We need to be reminded of these six things, because in these six things, they encapsulate all the, really, the human suffering and the things that come in our life because we live in a fallen world. We have a real adversary, Satan, even though he's a defeated foe. Until we receive Jesus and learn to walk in His authority and learn to walk in what He's given, then many times that we still have those things that are hanging on to us. They don't have to, but until we find out that He came to remove them, and that He does, He will, and He wants to, and He'll do it today, then many times we put up with it. We're waiting to heaven to get there. Maybe one day. Hope so. One day. I'm telling you how He does it. He said He will, and you'll find out He wants to do it today. Number three, He came to preach deliverance to the captives, it says there in verse 18. So Jesus still delivers captives. Jesus still delivers captives. And the word deliverance conveys the idea of a complete dismissal of something, an unbinding, a liberation, or the setting of someone free. Aren't you glad? In other words, when Jesus comes to destroy, when it says He came to, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, just write that down. It says that for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that He may destroy the works of the devil. That word destroy is translated many times and can be translated to dissolve, to untie, to undo. And in other words, that when you hear God's word and you allow His anointing, you see His word is anointed, church. He can set you free right there in that seat by what you hear and what you choose to believe. Yes, He wants to touch you today, but I want you to know it conveys the idea of a complete setting free. And that's what He wants to do. To preach, He came to preach deliverance. He's letting people know that there's nothing too big. There's nothing that's bound you that God can't take off of you. And here is something important to us to think about. One other word here, the captive. The word captive pictures is an important Greek picture here. In other words, the New Testament was written in Greek. That's what I mean. So it conveys a picture of someone who has the point of a tip of a spear pressing them in their back. You know, in Roman time, or when this is written, the weapon, like a spear, if you were a guard or you were in control of someone you took captive, it pictures someone with a spear that actually takes the point and pushes it in someone's back to hold power over them and to dictate the direction they go in life and to dictate that captive's life. So this word captive refers to those who are dragged into a number of things, but possibly some kind of bondage by a sinister force. It would cause us to be pushed down and forced into even things like a poor self-image, because things are happening in life. And you think that's not a big deal, but let me tell you something. You'll never rise above your image of who God has made you. For the you that you see is the you that you will be. And just want you to know this, that he came to change you. For Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we have to see ourselves in Christ. And this is part of the captivity that many times that we fall into through a poor self-image. How about toxic relationships? This could be part of the captivity that we have. Some sinister forces, in other words, influence, association, influence, and environments around us have shaped the mold that we live in, and we have allowed those things to take us captive. But Jesus said, I've come to preach deliverance to the captives, to free us from toxic relationships. Or maybe it's the overpowering grip of substance abuse, like alcohol, drugs. Those things obviously have made many people, held them captive. Jesus is saying, by using this word, no matter what's binding you, I've come to set you free. Trust in me. Trust in me. Trust in me. And today I preach as well the deliverance to the captives. And it also means illness and sickness and disease, because the truth is we feel like when we're in that dictates to us what we can do. We feel like many times the captive. We feel like there is someone not only staring us down, but dictating what we can do and cannot do. And Jesus is done with it. He says, I want to set the captives free. Woo! Glory to God. Number four, he said, I'm anointed the recovering of the sight to the blind. Amen. What is the recovering of the sight mean? This word, this phrase, recovering of sight of the sight, means to see again. It simply means to see again. Jesus came. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Jesus came so that you and I could see again. And this includes the miraculous act of granting sight to the blind in Jesus' name. 10 times in the Gospels, Jesus returned sight to the physically blind, and he's still doing the same today. Will you believe it? But in addition, everybody say in addition. In other words, there's something else that this means, recovering the sight means. But in addition to restoring physical sight to the blind, the word blind here doesn't just mean a person who is actually unable to see. It depicts a person who has been intentionally blinded by someone else. Who? Can't imagine who that is, so let me help you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 speaks of this very thing. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the god of this world, that's talking about Satan, the god of this world, or this world system, has what? Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. This not only talks about physical restoration, but it's talking about a spiritual sight and restoration. And it is an intentional, Jesus said, there is someone that is intentionally blinding the spiritual sight of mankind. Woo! The scripture reveals is Satan himself. And Jesus said that he has blinded the mind of the unbeliever. But this isn't, hallelujah, a lack of physical vision as or sight that we talked about. It's one who has been spiritually blinded, as the scripture says. This means Jesus' anointing can not only restore physical sight, and it will, but also spiritual sight, as the Holy Spirit, through the light of the gospel, creates eyes for us to see the truth about Jesus Christ and come out of the blindness that once held us. The truth sets us free. We can see what we haven't seen. Yes, these eyes could see just as good, but you see something different, because now you see with the eyes of your heart. You see what God has said about you. And Jesus has came to remove through the gospel and through the preaching of the gospel, the recovering of the sight of the blind, so that you and I can see that Jesus never changes. You and I can see Jesus as an answer. And number five, here's what he came to do. Are you ready? To set at liberty them that are bruised. The set at liberty was this phrase here means deliverance. This Greek word means deliverance. It means to release. It means to permanently set one free. So, in other words, Jesus don't want us to be up and down. He don't want us to be free one day and bound the next. He says, I'll do something that permanently sets you free. Will you trust Him today? I said, will you trust Him today? He said He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is what His anointing came to do. The word bruise here describes, notice it said at liberty them that are bruised. So what does bruise mean? Well, bruise here describes anyone who has been fractured, fragmented, or split up, or are suffering any kind of oppression in their emotions, mind, or body. And oh my, that would probably take the list right on out the door. In other words, there's so many people that you and I know that have been oppressed in emotions, in their mind, and in their body. This is what the bruising that Jesus said, I want to destroy. He wants to remove. He wants to set at liberty. Hallelujah. One translation where it says, to set at liberty those that are bruised. One translation says, to free those who have been treated unfairly, the oppressed. The good news is that Jesus is still freeing all that are bruised and trust in Him today. You don't have to feel trapped. You don't have to feel helpless. You don't have to feel like you're alone. I'm telling you, Jesus loves you. And I can tell you, He did all this for you and I. He can't take it back. He never will. He's just waiting for someone to accept it, someone to believe it, someone to let Him touch them, someone to believe what He said. Like the centurion said, it came and told Jesus, hey, Jesus, I know you're coming to heal my servant, but I'm not worthy you ever even come under my roof. I know you could come, and you're on your way, but I'm not even worthy for you to come. Just speak the word only, and my servant should be made whole. Oh, what did that centurion understand? That sickness and disease, Jesus had authority over it. And I'm here today to tell you, Jesus still got authority over it. And He's looking for you to believe that. Because He's come. He's come. I said He's come to recover, bring recovery to sight to the blind and set at liberty them that are bruised. Last but not least, the next verse says this, the sixth and final thing that we'll look at today, that Jesus said His anointing came to do. See, how many times have you read that? Let me tell you something. I quote this scripture verse on a regular basis. I have for years over my own life because I know how powerful it is. But it wasn't until just recently in pulling out a study on this and doing a word study on this that I actually found all the significance of it. But how many know that just because you've been saved for 39 years, just because you've read the Bible and even read that verse for almost that long, doesn't mean you know everything about it. And nor do I think I know everything about it today. However, I know more than I did yesterday, and I know what Jesus came to do, and I'm communicating that to you so that you can and I can leave free today. Notice the sixth and last final thing that Jesus said He came and His anointing came to do. He came and His anointing came to do. Remember, He was anointed to do these things. And the anointing produced this in and through His life to set the captives free. Here's what He said, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now I'm going to calm down for one moment and help us to think. Amen. And engage our heart in what Jesus is saying here. He says, this acceptable year means exactly what he says. But you could say like this. When he preached, he says, I've come to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What he's saying is, this is the acceptable time. In other words, you're going to find out, here's what it means. Whenever he showed up and preached this. Matter of fact, in one of the visitations that Brother Hagin had when he was on the earth with Jesus told him, he says, you know, he turned to this and he says, you know, people think that I preached this message one time. He said, every place I went, the first message I ever preached was this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He says, why did I do that? He said, that so people would know what I was come to do and what they could expect me to do. And if they would believe I was the Messiah and I was anointed, then that power would go into them, drive out that which Satan wrought for evil and deliver them. See, you can't have faith for what you don't know. And he says, I preach, people think I preached that one time, just that in that synagogue. Jesus told him, he says, I preached that everywhere I went. Because people needed to, by hearing what I was sent to do, that built faith. How does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But just think about it, church. You've heard me preach this today, you've heard me, and I haven't finished yet, but I'm getting close. Praise God. I know you think it's a miracle. Praise God. But a lot of times, you have to understand this. Just like faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, so does doubt come that way. The opposite way, by hearing something other than the Word of God. And too many times we've heard other things. We've allowed our feelings to speak to us. We've allowed our circumstances to speak to us. We've allowed what people said, the labels they put on us, the words that and diagnoses and things that have been said about us, that and then we repeat those things. We believe those. And you know why? Because that's what we've heard the most. That's what we focused on. That is a ploy of the devil. And this is why Jesus said, everywhere I went, I said that first. Because it had to produce faith in the heart. And here today, this is why this will be a great verse for you to speak over your life every day. You know why? Because God not only wants to set you free, but God wants to use you to set others free. And that's not to get us a big head, because the truth is, we can't heal nobody, but God through us can. God through us can. God through us. So let's get it straight. We're not the healer. He is. But he has to have a body. He has to have a people. And he's still using people today. That's what he designed. He put Adam here for that purpose, church. And now the church is in that place. And God was designed. This is why he works as Mark chapter 16, you can just write it down. And verse 20, it says, after it gave the great commission, he says, and they went out everywhere preaching the gospel and God working with them, both with signs, wonders, and miracles and gifts of the Holy. Confirming the word with signs, wonders, and miracles, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Notice God will confirm his word. God confirms his word. This is why we must talk about it. So notice the acceptable year, or you could say the acceptable time, means that time is right now. That time, listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Don't put off tomorrow what it's supposed to be today. That time is right now. At this very moment of hearing the truth about what Jesus came to do is the time to receive from him. Don't put off tomorrow what he designed for you to have today. Here's what Luke chapter 4 verse 19 in the Amplified Translation beautifully says. It says this, to proclaim the accepted and the acceptable year of the Lord. The day when salvation. So if you ain't saved, today is your day. You've heard about it. But if you're not free, you've heard about it too. It's your day. The day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. This message came from me walking up my steps last night and me hearing that in my spirit. I knew where that was at. So I just went upstairs. I told Pastor Debbie. And I said, well, I know what the Lord, I had my other take the limits off. Message all pretty much ready, and but I heard that in my spirit, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation, here's what I heard, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. And I knew right then that God wants to do something. The free favors of God. You can't earn it. It's called grace. This is where your faith connects to the grace of God and receive. Whatever we talked about today, church. Come on, Brother Ryan, help me. Whatever we talked about today that you're facing, if you're still in that, God wants you free from that. God wants you helped. We don't want you to come and leave the same way you came. You don't have to be ashamed. I think about the woman with the issue of blood. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. For she said, if I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. She didn't care about being criticized, about being stoned for being out in public because she had an issue of blood. That's what could have happened to her. But she knew this. Her faith in Jesus overtook everything. And she went right through the crowd and touched Jesus with faith. And although many others touched him, she's the one who touched him in faith. And she, because of what she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched him. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And immediately, straightway, the fountain of blood stopped. And she knew in herself that she was healed of her plague. God wants us to understand this. This is telling us that Jesus' anointing is available right now. When it says the acceptable year or the time, it means the day when salvation. That's the day you hear about it. God wants it right now. And the free favors of God profusely abound. Thank you, sis. Amen. Stand right there. That's right. Come here. No, do what you want to do. That's right. That's good. This is the place where you get help. Right there, sis. You're right. I just thought, we're going to pray for you too. But just know this. This is where we let God touch us. And listen, you don't need me. You need God. But God, that doesn't discount the part that there's the reason we lay hands on people is because it's a point of contact. Jesus told us we could do that. And there's a point of contact to release your faith. God works through vessels. God works through people, you and I. And he moves by his Holy Spirit. This is telling us Jesus' anointing is available right now. At this very moment for anyone who comes to him by faith. Because today is when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. Bow your hearts and heads with me in closing. First of all, if you're in here today and there's never been a time that you have been born again or saved, I want you to know today is the day of salvation, God says. Today is the day that not if, not maybe, today is